You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network of podcasts.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Hello. And yes, people, we really, really have a real problem here. There is too much stuff!
Yep.
So you found this, or a friend of yours wrote this out, and
so we're bullet pointing it, and we're going to elaborate, because I thought it was kind of ironic that it's brought up, especially with the amount of civil discord there is over content.
Yeah, and I think we discussed this recently. I don't know if it was on Altered Geek or if it was on All Things Transformers or if it was on Geekcast Radio, but yeah, so let's go ahead and go through this and we can converse as we go.
So he says, if I had the rest of my life to watch everything on Netflix, I wouldn't be able to watch it all before I die. I probably wouldn't survive reading everything at Barnes & Noble either. And he says, like, if I can't beat Netflix or Barnes & Noble, I'm even more screwed with Amazon Prime Video, HBO, Showtime Cinemax, Disney Plus, Paramount Plus, Hulu, you name it. One of the bazillion subscriptions that are out. It's, yeah. So he says it's very important to talk about stuff that you've seen and read that you love. None of us has seen or will have seen everything or read every book. So obviously positive reviews help everyone. And it helps the people making the stuff you love too. So, he mentions sharing is caring, which
okay.
I agree.
I agree too. Now in the beginning, 2007, 2008... whatever. There was a lot of hate in a lot of the podcasts. And you know what? We were bitter young people back then, and now we're just bitter old people. However, with this, yeah, I'm not wasting my time telling people what I hate or what I dislike. If I want to put time into something, if I want to do a podcast on something, it's going to be something I want to spend my time on. Same thing with watching media or reading books. I don't want to watch everything in the world. I don't want to watch I guarantee you, for every 10 shows I watch on HBO Max, there are at least 50 that I don't. Same thing with Netflix. Same thing with Hulu. Like, it's all that. And we're never going to have enough time. Yes, there is too much stuff. At the same time, I feel like the choice is premium now because we didn't get a choice 30 to 40 years ago. 40 years ago, if you didn't catch it at the right time, you never saw it unless it ended up in a rerun at some point. You know what I mean? Like, there's no...
It's so much easier to grasp that which you enjoyed as a child or young adult or whatever age group you're in. And especially with all these streaming services, like everything that it was a one and done when you were younger is not a one and done anymore. Like you have to You have the option to watch all of it again, but there's also the fact that there's so much new stuff too, and it's whether you want to waste your time on something new or, you know, like for instance, there's shows that I really don't care about the newer versions of whatever that entry is in their franchise. Like I really don't care for them. And do I watch them? Usually, like the first time it airs, and then after that, I don't pick it up again. It's not something on my radar that I just have to go back to. Whereas the original stuff that I grew up on or that I watched when I was younger, it resonates with me still. And so I'll go back and rewatch it multiple times, even if I've seen it multiple times. And it's not a testament that the stuff out now is bad. It's just, that's my personal preference. And that's the same thing with, you know, we were kind of discussing it, and this kind of goes for comics too. We were discussing it on the AllSpark Discord channel about comics, and people were like, I don't get why everybody's dumping on IDW for their Transformers comics. And I more or less said, you know, I don't dump on it. It just never really interested me. It didn't really resonate with me. So rather than, you know, waste my time complaining about it and, you know, reading it just so that I could give it a negative review or just so that I could be like, eh, I passed on it, you know, like, and, you know, just because I don't like something doesn't mean that I'm the end all be all voice of it. And I feel like a lot of reviewers and a lot of people out now feel that they speak for everyone. And like, you know, I've disliked a great majority of the Transformers series since Prime finished. I can find aspects of all of them that I like. I also find things, many things that I don't. And does that mean that I go back and rewatch them? I never go back and rewatch them unless it's one of my favorites. And that's kind of a testament to the medium itself. And while I may not, you know, like IDW's comic run, I did enjoy their Beast Wars stuff. You know, while I did enjoy Dreamwave, and they're done, you know, it's just another company, you know, with IDW losing the license, somebody else is going to pick it up, and who knows what direction they're going with that. You know, I mean, and the same thing is with really anything. I mean, if you don't like the comics of Marvel and you like the movies, or you are mad at the movies because they didn't follow the comics, or, you know, everybody has their unique entry point of where they care and where they don't. And regardless of what one person says, or the multitude, or, you know, yes, it may not be your version. It may not be the one that you enjoy. It may not be something that you care to, you know, revisit. Like, we discuss on, like there's a group for Future Imperfect on Facebook that, the four of us discuss. And more so because, like, there's just, we greatly despise the logical choices, or lack thereof, of some of the writing or some of the canonical errors that they're creating by not actually watching the source material or not paying attention to it, or citing memory alpha. Whereas I felt like the JJ films at least tried that to not screw it up. And the current television series, they have a lot of inconsistencies where they contradict themselves even in their own series.
And so,
you know, one of the guys, he's a writer for a lot of the Star Trek material and the canon and the games themselves, like the adventure games or the role-playing games or things like that. And it drives him up a wall, the inconsistencies in it. And we venomously, you know, dump on it in that group.
But that's four people amongst yourselves. You're not shouting to the internet.
Well,
though,
it does sometimes on the podcast, but regardless, we've kind of taken this oath of, we're just going to discuss like seasons of TNG and work our way to DS9 and Voyager and, you know, find our favorite episodes and talk about those. Because it creates much less irritation on our behalf. But
yeah,
I mean, it's, and again, it's very important to talk about things that you enjoy.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I have no interest in Morbius, and some people enjoy it and some people do. Like, I have no care in the world to see it whatsoever. I don't like Jared Leto, but I'm just not going to see the movie because I just don't care. It has nothing to do with, you know, I don't care if it's good or bad. I don't care to see it, and I'm not going to review it, so it doesn't really bother me.
I will say that there are going to be spoilers here for a second, but it doesn't matter for you. But I'm letting the listeners know, as of this right now, as I'm saying this, there are spoilers. The after credits scene, it's basically Vulture getting sucked into the MCU. And that's fine through the spell and through whatever and everything else. And I only know this because I read the Wikipedia article. And that's the funny thing and the interesting thing for me is if I don't really have the, oh my God, I hate this. Oh my God, this, that, and whatever. It's more so, I just don't care.
Yeah, I think I've adopted that anymore.
If I'm in a conversation, like if you and I are in a conversation and you say, oh, what have you been watching lately? Blah, blah, blah. I'll say, oh, a couple of months ago, I got an old 5-season DVD set of an old NBC show called Las Vegas, starring Josh Duhamel, James Caan, and other people. And it's basically about a Las Vegas hotel and casino.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very visual, it's very film for television kind of thing. And it's one of the NBC's action shows that they had out back then. And if you're not interested in that, then you're not interested in that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to force feed you turn you into Clayface.
No, I mean, it's like, you know, you don't you like Law and Order and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I can enjoy an episode here or there, but I ultimately don't care. So that's not something I watch, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where, again, you know, same thing with Star Trek.
You're a casual watcher. You just,
yeah, I'm very casual. I don't even like, yeah, I'm not in that fandom. I've never ever said I was a Trekkie at all. I've seen all of the movies except for Beyond.
That's actually what's sad is it's the best one.
The best one, yeah.
Because Into Darkness is just utter garbage and a mess.
Yes, I remember.
Whereas Beyond, it got bad rap because of Into Darkness.
Yeah. And the only reason why I even checked out an episode of Picard was because Mr. Frosted Flakes was coming back, so... Or Frosted Freaks. Whoops, screwed that joke up.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's the only, like, it was because I wanted to see number one, not because I wanted to see old-ass Patrick Stewart, as great as he is. My personal opinion on the Star Trek franchise, and to even Star Wars as well, I mean, for the most part, take what came before, respect it, homage it, mention it, whatever, but move on with your own damn story.
Yeah, stop trying to go back in time and rehash everything.
Like, if you're going to do a show specifically that says Star Trek Discovery, make that a new Star Trek show for a new generation. Use Enterprise LMNOP or whatever. Like, you know, use something else. Reference the fact that how about instead of the 24th, 5th, 6th, how about it's the 37th century in a row? Or something, you know, I don't know, man. Like I said, I am only really trying to focus on the things that I like. And some of the things I like are new. Most of the things I like are old. And that's okay. Half the time, I don't even consume movies and TV the way I used to.
Oh, because, I'm the same way.
Yeah, because half the stuff I'm doing is for a podcast. Like, I don't sit here and just watch TV on hours upon end. I mean, yes, I am going through Las Vegas because I haven't seen that show in forever and whatever. I'm going through that for enjoyment, yes. But I'm not going to sit here on a weekly show to give you my opinions of Boba Fett.
You know? I mean, have I watched it? Yes. Do I care to really bring it up after it's aired? Not really. I mean, it's not something I'm like uber passionate about, and while I have wanted to discuss, you know, the new like Picard
Mando.
I enjoy it for what it is. Do I think it's perfect? No. Is it something I'll ever rewatch? Highly unlikely, but I won't say that I won't. Now Discovery, I will never go back and rewatch it. It's just not to me. It's not something I purely enjoy and that brings me enjoyment when I watch it. And so therefore, like, just because I'm not a fan of the writing, I'm not a fan of the hollow part of the cast, I'm not, you know, nothing resonates with me about it. So right. It's not something I care to revisit ever. And whereas, you know, Picard, it's got the lasting legacy of TNG. So therefore, guilt by association.
Have they brought in Geordi yet?
No, and they're missing they got Q, and then they have Brent Spiner playing another Soong ancestor, which is funny. And then they explain why some of the, you know, he's done some engineering anyway, and that's kind of probably why he looks the same generation after generation. but regardless, like, they should have had Worf in this season, because they hinted at his ancestor, which would have been nice. But regardless, I'll rewatch this. Like, I've actually really enjoyed their animated stuff. But again, if it's not resonating, I'm not going to keep going back to the same, you know. I'll watch it the first time, I'll give it a shot, and then after that, I'm done. Like, I won't go back to that pool. I'll play in the stuff that I enjoy, because, like he said in that, you know, life's too short, I'll be dead before I get to see everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's other things in life I'd like to see other than just, you know, what's on TV.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, for me, movies and television have changed. Like, with the internet, everything has changed, but movies and TV have changed because it's all at our fingertips now. Whatever we want to watch or not watch, listen to or not listen to is there, you know. And I can only really bring a positive energy to the stuff. Like, can I critique certain things? Absolutely. Did I enjoy Masters of the Universe Revelation? Overall, I'd give it a 5 or 6 out of 10 overall. Did I enjoy a few of the references and a few of the things and a few of the moments? Yes, absolutely. But there are plenty of things that I didn't enjoy about it, and that's fine, you know, so it is what it is.
But you're not going to waste a bunch of time, like, going back to the same pool and rewatching everything just because, like, because you're a fan of the original and because you reviewed it in it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like, had you read the bad reviews, would you have watched it?
That's the thing.
Or good reviews from people you respect.
Yeah, I don't know. If I wasn't already in the franchise, if I wasn't a fan since I was a kid, maybe the bad reviews would make me not want to watch it, but maybe the good reviews might make me want to check out at least the first episode. And I know original co-creator of Altered Geek with you, Mr. Michael Powers, he has had a rule for years with shows, I believe, you know, give it 5 episodes, the 5-episode rule. And sometimes I can't do that anymore.
I mean, I've gotten the same at points.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's, and it, again, it's like, it's, it, am I going to sit there and continually bash it? No.
No.
Like, I hated the reboot the Guardian Code.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely hated it. Now, I was in a reboot group on Facebook, and they were dumped on left and right by the guy that runs Mainframe. Mm-hmm. Now, like, by comparison to like Gavin Blair, who used to run, you know, a lot of the stuff there, and those guys like Ian Weir, mm-hmm. and those guys, they were pretty, you know, innovative, and they were like super nice guys to talk to, because, like, I've got, you know, Gavin on my Twitter and Facebook, and, like, they were even kind of like, you know, with the new stuff, and they blasphemed the whole show, like, basically, mm-hmm. like, just destroyed it. They dumped on the fans. They didn't care. Like, they were just trying to, basically, what it amounted to is the guy that ran the Facebook group, he was very venomous towards mm-hmm. this guy, but also because, like, this guy basically dumped on the franchise and made his son, like, the star.
Oh, jeez.
So that, like, it was basically, like, almost like Power Rangers, but digital. And
okay.
So, anyways, like, and I dumped on it for, like, an episode.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you know, but it was more so like their PR company sucked. Like, I tried to get information. I tried to get, you know, interviews, and just for fun, I re-edited the entire season without the live action bits.
Because yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I saved so much time for people that didn't want to see that. Mm-hmm. but I mean, yeah, I mean, I didn't keep going down the same rabbit hole. I dumped it, moved on, and, you know, like, yes, did I review it? I did, but same token.
I just,
that was also many years ago. Like, nowadays, I don't have time.
Yeah.
If there's something I don't care, like, if I absolutely have no ambition with it, I just don't cover it.
Yeah. Like, again, perfect example, and this is perfectly fine. You watched the first episode of Transformers BotBots. You didn't like it.
It didn't resonate with me. And so rather than make people mad that genuinely enjoyed it, I'm just going to, you know, take my time and move on.
Right. Whereas I'm going to find people to come on and cover it at some point for at least one episode of all things Transformers. Because for me with that show,
it resonated differently.
It resonated differently because of the fact that it resonated with so many different things that I don't want to get into here, but I will say, boil that show down, it's the only thing it has connected to the Transformers brand is two things. The
spark fragment.
The regular everyday objects transform from bot to burger or from whatever. And the fact that a piece of a energon blast hit the mall and made them all Transformers. The rest of it is mall culture and everything else you can think of. Like, there's an episode about jocks, and there's an episode about, you know, geeks. There's an episode about the janitorial crew. There's so many things that I got from that show that I want to explore with other people. And if that's not you, that's okay. There's plenty of podcasts that you've been on that I haven't been on. So, you know.
But I mean, that's my point is, like, rather than, like, say, like, oh, you're an idiot because you like that show. You know, it doesn't resonate with me. Just move on.
Yep. Absolutely.
So, yeah. So this guy also continues. He goes, you know, negative reviews, on the other hand, aren't much good to anyone. Do you hate a show? Great. I don't care. I don't have enough time to care about what you don't like. I have plenty of stuff I don't like, but I'm kind enough not to bore you with those details. And that's kind of like why I don't use Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Because 90% of their rotten reviews, or, you know, negative reviews, are things I genuinely enjoy. And so I take that as a badge of, like, oh, if they rated it crap, I'm going to probably like it.
Yeah. So again, the thing with me is I will say, again, I will give at least, you know, one episode for cartoon, TV show, whatever. If I see it and I don't like it, then I'm – same thing with movies. I have been preaching this since I started podcasting. The whole point of movie trailers is to see if you are interested or not in watching the full movie when it comes out. And if you're not – I'll say, hey, I watched the insert whatever movie title you want here trailer. I'm not that into it. It's not for me. Whatever. Like, I watched the most recent whatever the current TMNT cartoon is. I watched Rise, like, the first episode. Yeah, that one. I don't like the animation style.
I don't either.
I mean, that's pretty much the core of why I don't like it. But I haven't watched enough to actively outrage hate it. I don't care. Again, I don't care. Like, what I said after I watched that first episode is, there is, at the time, I think it was maybe the, it was the 35th anniversary. Okay, this is the 35th anniversary of TMNT. There are plenty of TMNT versions out there. This 2017 one, or whatever year that debuted, you know, this new one is not for me, and that's okay. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. Yep. Let's go on, you know.
Yeah, like I liked the previous rendition, and that's perfectly fine. Like, I found an interest in it, and that was great. But, I mean, this new one, it's not meant for me. Like, I don't have to waste any time watching it because it's not something that resonates with me. And so it's, you know, with every reboot under the sun coming, you know, I think that they're doing like a National Treasure reboot on, you know, as a TV series, and they're doing so many different reboots right now, as TV series. And, you know, some of them will I check out? Maybe, just depends. But I mean, I've kind of come to this point where I don't have the time I used to.
Yeah.
And to watch a new show, or, you know, and which that's fine. Like, there's so many other people watching this stuff that it's going to find its audience, regardless if I am not it. And, but, you know, I mean, same token. Yeah. I love Beast Wars. Like, that's the one that I get like very defensive over if somebody's like dumping on it. But, you know, like the newer generation that loves, you know, even the Armada generation would dump on it to begin with. And then now it's funny because they're like, you know, a lot of these people, even the ones, you know, that didn't grow up with Beast Wars are now going, some of them are saying, you know, the animation's terrible, but it's like, but the story is what outshines and the voice acting is what outshines the animation. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, whereas the new stuff, it's kind of like, yeah, the animation's nicer, but in some regards,
yeah.
Like, I still think it's more fluid in the old stuff, which is odd. But,
you know, I said this to somebody recently on a podcast, and it's probably a podcast that I haven't even finished editing yet at this point. But I want, basically, I don't want us to go back to Generation 1. I don't want to continue that. That story ended with a fairly decent whatever ending. But I want that animation style.
So you want to go now back and do like Headmasters and...
No. I don't know. I want the 84 to 87. I want that series. I want that animation style
back
now. And what I think is very similar to that is what the Revelation,
yes,
with Powerhouse Animation, what they did with Masters of the Universe Revelation. I think that style would look great on Transformers. Is Hasbro going to do that? Probably not.
Well, actually, funny enough, the people that did War for Cybertron pitched a legacy television show.
Interesting.
And Netflix was like, no.
Because
of how bad the other one went. But I mean, yeah.
That's the other problem, though. Is that instead of pitching to Fox Animation or Nickelodeon or Disney or whatever, and hell, you know, NBC, ABC, CBS Animation back in the day, the problem now is where a lot of these franchise cartoon things have to live is Netflix, is Hulu. And it's not just streaming. It's one of these places, Netflix, Hulu, HBO Max, whatever, you know, which makes no sense to me because Hasbro had their own fraggin' channel. They had the hub. They could have turned the hub into a streaming service. They could have had all of their content on one thing, all of it, everything, American stuff, Japanese stuff, whatever, everything, you know, and it died, and it sucks because I kind of like being able to turn the TV on again in the 21st century and catching an episode of G1 or Beast Wars or Beast Machines or Prime or Animated or Rescue Bots or whatever. You know, the problem is that, you know, now we have, I hate to say it, but Netflix is the new NBC. It's the new big thing. And I don't know what those contracts look like. I do not work for Netflix. I have no clue. But somebody need to tell them. And I think a lot of people have said on social media, 5 episodes is not a season.
No. But a lot of shows are going very minimalistic.
Yeah.
Like they're going bare minimum. Like they're not doing seasons of stuff anymore. Like they're doing like 10 episodes. That's a season. Or 6 episodes, that's a season.
Yeah, because apparently the world we live in now wants nothing but short-form content. I can't stand short-form content right now.
Don't get me wrong. I hate filler. Like, there are episodes of various series mm-hmm. that are filler, throwaway, not worth, you know, adding extra depth to a season.
Right.
And so in that regard, like, I don't mind the shortened seasons. However, mm-hmm. 6 episodes is too short. 10 episodes, I feel, is still kind of short.
Yeah.
13 episodes, I feel like, is kind of that sweet spot.
Yep. 13 episodes used to get you a season. 26 episodes would get you 2 seasons.
Yeah, or they would do, you know, anywhere from like 13 to 26 episodes, just depending on the mm-hmm. show. Some of them,
right,
most of your live action stuff did like 18 to 26.
Yeah, and I think the thing is that I think we are moving away from, I know we haven't gotten rid of the Nielsen rating system yet, but
they're actually revamping it because a lot of Well, a lot of it's streaming, but it doesn't measure streaming very well. It's not made for that. And so a lot of the companies actually pulled their funding and pulled their, mm-hmm. Like created their own ratings because they were like, well, you're not competitive with modern day. And so they yanked their ratings like from these companies, and these companies, mm-hmm. you know, like Comcast, NBC, like Universal, like stuff like that. They were like, yeah, we're not going to deal with you until you get your ducks in a row.
Yeah. And the thing of it is you're right. The streaming stuff, the Nielsen system is not, from what I can tell and from what I know, just by glancing at things online, the Nielsen rating system for television is still living in the 80s and 90s. It's not modernized enough.
Well, and not only that, but like they have a, like, I just recently did one of the Nielsen rating things, like surveys, and they finally stopped like sending them totally in the mail.
I was going to say, are you going to get like $3 in the mail in 6 weeks?
they give you $5 cash.
Oh, wow.
In like 4 weeks. So, but again, like I've gotten them for radio and I've gotten them for television, and the radio stuff makes me laugh because like I haven't listened to radio in years.
Yeah.
So like when they ask what podcasts I put Geekcast Radio, or what radio or podcast networks or whatever, and I put Geekcast Radio because I think it's funny. But but when it comes to like television, like, because they'll ask you stuff about streaming. They'll ask you, you know, do you still watch TV? Do you have cable? No, I don't. And do I care to have it? No. You know, what streaming services, what shows do you watch? And it'll ask me like stuff about the whatever the popular shows are. Mm-hmm. And it, to me, I'm like, those are totally irrelevant to me. Like, I have no care in the world for those. So like, unless they're asking me about, you know, some other show I watch, like I have to put like, you know, don't care, don't like it, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. even though it's not something that I really want to comment on because it's not something that interests me, but they don't really give you an opt-out.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Yeah, it's changing. It's, you know, I've referenced this a lot this year so far, and I did it last year too. Back when the PS2 was announced and there was commercials for it, there was this commercial where it was like, oh, this is going to be the PS9 and how you access it is, you know, there's a chip in your head or you insert the controller plug into the side of your head kind of thing, like to show this futuristic whatever. And obviously it was just a PS2 ad, but that ad sticks in my head so many times because the future that commercials and other things say it's going to be isn't. I mean, just look at Back to the Future 2, whatever. But it's one of those things where there is so much stuff, we can only pay attention to so much of it. And I refuse to focus on a wholly negative thing overall.
Yeah, now, I mean, there's constructive criticism, but at the same time, like his point too with it was, mm-hmm. by the time you're seeing whatever XYZ content is, mm-hmm. it's too late to fix it.
Yep.
It's literally too late. And I totally agree with him. Like, he says basically the, you know, we want to watch stuff that, you know, we might like, and they're so much more difficult now because, you know, TV doesn't have just a couple channels. There's so many streaming things. You know, if we're going to stand a chance in this world of streaming and on-demand publishing, we need to modify the way that we contextualize the experience. You know, if you see something you love, shout it out, you know, share it with others. You know, chances are very high that you love something that was recommended to you. You know, experiences with franchises, properties, and things that family and friends introduced, and, you know, mm-hmm. and like, you know, I was into Batman because my dad got me comic books when I was like 5-6 years old, and yeah. took me up to the local drugstore and, you know, got comic books. And granted, I would have like, I don't think he actually read them because I the first ones I got was like way beyond my age range or what I should have gotten because I got the Nightfall comics.
Yeah.
Whereas like my mom was like, okay, you can have the Batman, the animated series comics. And I got G.I. Joe because I was into that, even though like it was just as violent.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean like, but still, like, you know, I got into Star Trek because both my parents watched it. You know, on Sunday nights when TNG was airing brand new, we watched it on with dinner. And so, you know, that's been one of those staples that's kind of resonated with me since.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And a point for me personally, there is no such thing as appointment television anymore. And because of these streaming services, again, Netflix really started this when they went to streaming. Here, have all insert number of episodes here at once. And binging became a thing. And binging, to me personally, is still a thing. I will sit here and binge all, let's just say, 65 episodes of Beast Machines. I know there aren't 65 episodes. Yeah. It's less than that. But, like, I will sit here and binge all of that. Or I will sit here and do whatever. You know, I'll sit here and binge 13 episodes of The Shield. Because The Shield is on Hulu. And over on Studio 2009, my buddy Ryan and I are reviewing that. You know, so the thing about where he says the channels shut down. They didn't broadcast 24 hours. This, for me as a kid and as a teenager, is where radio came in. So, 80s, 90s, Carson, Leno, Letterman, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Once 12:05 hit, unless you wanted to watch infomercials for 3 hours, and I know there were other things on there, I'm just using that as an example.
Then you had to watch late night TV.
Well, no, I'm saying after the late night TV went off,
it was pretty much infomercials unless you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it was pretty much infomercials. There were a few other reruns of other things and things like that, but mostly it was infomercials. And then by 3 a.m., some channels, at least 8 of them shut down until 5 a.m. with the news. And now we now live in a 24-hour broadcast day because of the content availability of everything. And also, I believe now we live in a 24-hour broadcast day because of everyone having different schedules.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people, like, I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, your brother Brian works nights, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he does an overnight show. Okay, so he's going to sleep during the day. He's not going to be watching. I'm just going to say this as an example. I know he would probably not watch this anyway, but he's not going to be watching Jerry Springer and the soap operas in the middle of the day. He's going to be sleeping so he can go to work the next night. Maybe he catches some TV when he wakes up before he goes to work or after he gets home from work, kind of thing. But there is no more prime time, in my personal opinion, because any time is prime time now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just boils down to enjoy what you're going to enjoy. If you have other people,
one of the people that has to ruin it for everybody or complain, like,
I
there's plenty of things I don't like. I've come to the point, like, if you've noticed on this show, I've just stopped talking about programs because I've watched them, but they're not ones I necessarily care to ever review.
Yeah.
I mean, I might have a passing note like, hey, I really enjoyed, you know, XYZ or this episode of, The Mandalorian or, this season of this or something. But for the most part, I just don't voice it because I don't want to rain on somebody else's parade.
And I'm never out to do that. I mean, I'm never like, if I want to watch it again, I'll watch it again. And if I want to discuss it, I'll discuss it with whomever wants to discuss it with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Again, as long as we are like-minded people about discussing whatever it is, that's I have no problem with that whatsoever. But yeah, there are plenty of things that we've been doing the network for 13 years now. And in 13 years, I'm not tired of doing review shows. I just feel like I've been doing them so long, I need to do something else with the podcast. Yes, we created Studio 2009 in 2020 to have an all-encompassing to be able to talk about whatever we want to talk about. That's fine. When it comes to the audio and visual medium, that's fine. But I'm franchise. Even though I love my franchises and I will go back and rewatch them, I'm franchised out. Like, I just, when you spend 10 years talking about a franchise, whatever that franchise is, after a while, you need to do something else. And that's like, I remember in the beginning when we started, I'm like, I just want Steve, Kevin, Michael, this person. Like, it was like a core of maybe 10 or 11 of us. I stopped listening to other podcasts for a long time. Not because I didn't want to listen. It was just because I was producing my own content. And when you're producing your own content, you don't have time to listen to other people at the time. And now, as I've found this breaking point of, oh my God, I need to do something else, I'm like, ooh, let me invite all the people in. Hence why we have Origins on comics and cartoons and toys and podcasting and all that stuff, because I needed to do something interesting and different and something that wasn't a full-on review.
But yeah, so I mean, he says, just to kind of close this out, mm-hmm. He says, you likely have a similar experience with your family and friends, but how often does a bad review help introduce you to something you love? In my experience, almost never. And I don't remember the names of the people who shared bad reviews, whereas I remember the names of people who shared good reviews. I'm not trying to insist that everyone should be positive about everything. That way lies to madness. But I'm unbelievably bored with people loudly proclaiming their dislike of subjective media like books, TV shows, and movies. It doesn't help. I'm running out of time. Bore someone else with your negative opinions. Show me what you love. Share the things you love in the hope that someone else will watch them and love them as much as you do. Encourage happiness, love, and excitement. Keep your negative opinions in your pie hole. They don't really mean anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
So, yeah, I mean, in that regard, like, I hope to have us instill that, like, unleash the geek in people and not dissuade them from something that they may enjoy, even if it's something that we think, you know, eh. Like, mm-hmm. we've, and for the most part, we've always tried to find, you know, somebody that plays devil's advocate or, you know, find some silver lining in whatever it may be. Like, even if we absolutely hate it.
Absolutely.
So let us know what you guys thought about this topic. Let us know if you'd like us to discuss more topical natured things like this, or if you would like us to, you know, like, shut our pie holes and get back to things that, you know, reviewing things that we like, you know, just let us know what you guys want to hear and we'll do more of it.
That's right.
So how can the good people find you online?
I am on Twitter at TFU and Mike. You can find me most places like that. Instagram is TFU and Mike Presents. Facebook is, I believe it's TFG2 Mike. He's weird. I don't know what's going on with that.
Who's
thing.
TFG2?
He's weird.
He needs to be punched. Oh, wait, that's negative. So, yeah, you can find me on the Twitters at SCP21. I'm pretty much always active on there, even if I don't post much. You know, if you're a company, I don't know why you would block somebody when they haven't done anything to you, but, you know, thanks, Coke.
You know when it's right. You know when you feel it, baby. You hold it. You hear it. You taste it. It's right. You got the right one, baby. This irresistible, sippable, uncontestable, tasteable, and intimately wonderful. You got the right one, baby. Uh-huh.
They were smoking something.
Yeah, if you want reference for that, go to my Twitter page and it's my one of my most recent things. People are like, "What did you do? Side with Pepsi?" And I'm like, "No, I always drink Coke." But yeah, nonetheless, they blocked me, and I was trying to find out what they were posting. So I don't know if it's guilt by association or something, but regardless, you can find me on the Twitters. I won't block you on Discord or on Twitter if you're like a decent human being and like to actually debate. It's such a weird world we live in.
I have an idea that I think should be for episode 404.
Error?
Well, yes, but even though 403 is next, but for 404, I have this idea and I think it would work there. 404, message service not found, where we talk about all the varying message services we've encountered over the ICQ and all that other, I don't know, it's just
still around.
I'm sure it is.
I have an account.
It
still works, but the number is so low it's funny. And they actually make you have a username, I think, now, like, instead of just your number. I was like, I remember back in the day when your number meant something.
Yep.
I still know it by heart. It was like 590-33222. Because that's how I used to interact with a Transformers website back in the late 90s, early 2000s. They had ICQ. Cool. So, yeah. That and MSN Messenger, which is Skype.
Hey.
Basically.
Hi.
Anyways. So you can get a hold of us on there and let us know what you think. So anyways, until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Please enter program.
The android at the bar said you could show me my old ship. Let me see it.
Insufficient data. Please specify parameters.
The Enterprise. Show me the bridge of the Enterprise, you chatter and piece of...
There have been 5 Federation ships with that name. Please specify by registry number.
NCC-1701. No bloody A, B, C, or D.
Program complete. Enter when ready.